Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. We are in the book of Matthew, the 9th chapter, and we're going to read verses 9 through 13. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eat your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. Let us go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today and all the blessings you have given us and the opportunity, Lord, to remember, Lord, on this Memorial Day, those that have served in the past and those that have lost their lives for our freedom. And just pray that we do not take that for granted. Lord, just ask you to watch and care for us as individuals in the church, Lord, as we continue to try to and strive to serve you. Just ask that you'll bring to our minds the things that we should be doing in order to be followers of you. We ask all these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are looking at Matthew. I'm going to start a series of sermons in the Gospel of Matthew. And so last week we talked about the Gospels and we talked about Matthew and how unique and his approach to writing his Gospel, obviously through leadership of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, before we actually get started in looking at Matthew chapter by chapter, I want us to look a little closer at who Matthew was. The title of my message is Matthew the Publican. It's kind of interesting. That is his choice to identify himself as such. How would you like to be known? I remember when I first started going to school when I was, four, five, six. My name is Jeffrey, and my parents came to me and said, how do you want to be known? I was always called Jeff, and they said, now's the time if you want to be known as something else, and Jeff was fine with me. My sister and I always laugh and talk about our names. Growing up, I only knew someone who was a Lynn. My name is Jeffrey Lynn. I only knew women that was Lynn. As an adult, I've known some men now that that were also called men or Lynn. But my sister, her middle name is Eugene after our uncle. And we always teased each other that our parents gave us, she got the boy's name, I got the girl's name. We always talked about switching and sharing our names. But it's kind of interesting. How would you like to be known? Did you have a nickname? Some of our grandkids have had nicknames. Jeff, my grandson, he was here earlier. I'm not sure where he went off to. But anyway, he's been Jeffrey to us. And now he goes by Jeff. And as a grandparent, I'm working on it. I want to call him how he would like to be known. Have you ever had a nickname you didn't like? Kids can be mean, right? Growing up, Harlan, how would you make fun of that? Well, kids, they find a way, right? They find a way. And so sometimes we get to choose our names. Sometimes names are given to us by parents and that kind of stuff, but also nicknames. It's kind of interesting, the apostles, and I thought I'd take just a moment and look at some of the names given to the apostles The first thing I want to talk about is there's 12, right? And one of the things that's interesting, there's four different lists. Each of the gospel writers, except for John, the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, give a list of the apostles. Acts, Luke also in Acts gives a list of the apostles who were in the upper room when the church met after the ascension of Jesus Christ before Day of Pentecost. What's kind of interesting is that in these four different lists, the names are moved around just a little bit, but they're always moved around in groups of three, which I find kind of interesting. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John are always in the first group. Philip, Bartholomew, and Thomas, Matthew, the publican, those are always in the middle four. James, the son of Alphaeus, Lebius, Simon, it's Canaanite in King James, but it's actually Canaan, and I'll explain why that is. And Judas Iscariot is always the last four. So it's kind of interesting how the names are grouped together. The first four we know are fishermen's. We don't know if the other groups are grouped for a reason. We're not really told. But in dealing with the names, it's interesting. They had different names, right? So Simon, he had some different names. What were some of the different names of Simon? Peter, right? Cephas. Kind of interesting. Jesus changed his name, renamed him from Simon to Peter. And Peter is Greek. Cephas is Aramaic. Andrew, his brother. So growing up in a small town, if you grew up in a small town, you have probably had this happen to you. I was known as Elmer Harlan's son. I did have a name, but most people, you're Elmer's son. So Andrew, probably being younger, is known as Peter's brother. And then we have another set of brothers, James and John, and they're identified by their father, the sons of Zebedee, and then John, his brother, and he's also the younger. And it's kind of interesting. John has a nickname. You know what that is? He calls himself what? Yeah, the beloved, the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is kind of interesting. And sometimes we look at that and we think that can be a little arrogant. But I really think John is trying to say that Jesus loves us all, and he claims that Jesus loves me and Jesus loves all of us. We also find that James and John had another nickname, and it's don't know how to pronounce it in the Greek, but what it means is sons of thunder. And they came to a city in Samaria, and they went and told the people Jesus is coming, and the people of Samaria said, well, you don't want him here. And James and John said, Jesus, you want us to bring thunder upon them? And Jesus says, no, that's okay. So they got a nickname. Now, you tell me that Jesus doesn't have a sense of humor. And it tells us that Jesus gave them this nickname, Sons of Thunder. I find that kind of interesting. And then we have Philip, very vanilla, right? Just Philip, Bartholomew. Thomas is also known as Didymus, right? John calls him that. Matthew the publican, and it's interesting, Matthew is the one who chooses to retain this identification as publican. And we're going to talk about where Jesus came and he ate with sinners and publicans, and the Pharisees and scribes, they get all upset, and why is he eating with these people? And Matthew, he says, look, I identify as a publican. That's who I am, or That's who I was, right? I think that's really important. Sometimes it's good for us to remember who we were so that we can not forget who we are supposed to be in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Thomas is, we talked about Didymus, and we call him what? Doubting Thomas. Now, that's not a name that he is given in the Bible, but sometimes he gets labeled that. And then we come to, I did want to touch on Thomas and Didymus. Didymus is the Greek, Thomas is Chaldean, and it both means the twin. So very likely he had a twin brother, not necessarily one of the disciples, but his name literally means the twin. And as we look at the rest of them, we have James, who's always identified with his father, which tells us probably his father was also a believer, was also part of the church, probably. We don't have him identified anywhere else, but probably is. And then Labius, whose surname is Thaddeus, who's interesting. In Matthew and Mark, he is known as Labius or Thaddeus. And then when we get to Luke, who's written, it's written some 20 years later, right? The Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Acts, he calls him Judas. And we know it's the same person. And he says, Judas, the brother of James. And John says, Judas, not Iscariot. So it's kind of interesting, the different names that the disciples have. And then Simon the Canaanite, or Canaan, and what that means, it literally means zealot. And he's also in another place called Simon the Zealot, meaning that he was a political zealot. He was one who wanted Israel to get out from under the control of Jerusalem, and that was how he was identified, even as one of the apostles, which is kind of interesting. And then we have Judas Iscariot, and Iscariot is a place. So Judas, who was from Iscariot, is what is described there. So as we talk about Matthew, it's interesting. He's also known as Levi, and we'll talk about that a little bit this morning. He's Levi, identifying him as a Jew of the tribe of Levi, also called the son of Alphaeus, and he calls himself a tax collector. So we're going to look at the calling of Matthew, where Jesus calls him, because it's really the only story we have of Matthew and his following of Christ. And he is called a disciple, an apostle, the publican, Levi. And Matthew itself means gift from God. The other thing I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to put these in parallel, so I hope it's not too confusing as we go through the story here of Matthew. So this morning we're going to talk about the calling of Matthew the publican. And he, Jesus, went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitudes resorted unto him, and he taught them. So he's been in the Capernaum area, the north part of the Sea of Galilee, and people, multitudes, are coming to him. And as he is there by the seaside, and this is a lot of the area around the Sea of Galilee is kind of hilly, so you can't get real close to the Sea of Galilee everywhere, but the north part and the south part, it is easy access, and that is where a lot of the fishing villages were in the north. And so he's there teaching and preaching and teaching all of the people. And as he passed by, and as Jesus passed from thence and after these things went forth. So Luke tells us after these things, then he passed by. In other words, Jesus has been teaching, and then he gets up and he leaves. He's moving on to do something else. And he sees Levi, the son of Alphaeus. That's what Mark tells us. a man named Levi, and then Luke tells us he's a publican named Levi. And it's interesting, Matthew is Greek, and Levi is his Hebrew name, and he's sitting at the receipt of customs. So he's just doing his job. There in Capernaum, he has a booth, he has a storefront, he has a place in which as people come by, and in Capernaum, there is multiple roads that intersect there in the town of Capernaum. And so if you're going to go to Asia Minor, or if you're going to go to Egypt, different places, Egypt would be south, but there's three different directions you can go from Capernaum, and they all have to go through this little area. So it'd be kind of like, you know, if you're going to go to Eastern Oregon from here, unless you go 217 or something, but you almost have to go through Portland to get Eastern Oregon or to the north. And so it was a major intersection there. And he was a tax collector, and he would have people would pay tribute on the goods that they had, on traveling different roads. There was different taxes that he, as a Roman tax collector, he was a Jew, but he was employed by the Romans to collect taxes. It's kind of interesting. Last week we looked at the verse where some of the publicans had been following John, and they came unto John and said, "And what shall we do?" And John instructs them, "Don't collect any more than is owed to you. Follow the rules. Be obedient," is basically what John's instruction to them would be, which would be kind of our instruction also, part of our instruction in following Jesus Christ. And as Jesus was passing by, he said unto Matthew, right, "Follow me." What a simple instruction. Now, we know that Jesus already knows who Matthew is. Matthew is already a disciple of Jesus Christ. He's already a follower of Christ. And so when we look at these places where Jesus called his disciples and called these different men to follow him, it was a call of dedication, a call of continuing service, actually calling them for permanent work in his church when we look at Matthew and the other men that he ends up calling. And Matthew, rose up and he followed him. I like what Luke says. Luke 5, verse 28 says, "He left all." And so we find that this is a calling of dedication, of service, and he left all of his old life, even though he continued to call himself a publican, right? He was no longer a publican. He was a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. We find that that's not the only place where Jesus called men to follow him. We know that in the same area, Sea of Galilee, he comes across Peter and Andrew, his brother. They are casting nets, they're fishing, and he says, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And verse 20, what did they do? Leave their nets, and they followed him. We could almost read into that they left all, right? And followed Jesus Christ. That was their attachment, their dedication to Christ. And then he goes on, verse 21, to two other brothers, James and John, and they are mending nets. They're also fishermen. He called them, and they left their ship and their father and followed him. So we find that Jesus at different times has called different disciples to full-time service, and they came and followed him. We know that there was a time in which Some people said, Jesus says, you know, follow me. And they said, well, let me first go. Let me do this. Let me do that. Let me go bury my father. I need to go take care of some business. And Jesus says that if you're going to follow me, you need to be fully dedicated to following me. I like what Paul says in the book of Philippians, the third chapter. He says, not as though I've already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. How are we doing at following Jesus Christ? If he goes on in verse 12, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. I like the way he words that. I am following after Jesus, who has apprehended me, who has captured me, who has saved me. And for that which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus, that I may apprehend, that I may capture Christ as he has captured me, that I may be a follower of Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on and he says, and this is how I do that. Brethren, I count not myself to have already apprehended or to have already accomplished this. I am still trying to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But I follow after, he says. But this one thing I do, he says, this is the key of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before. You know, sometimes this is hard for us as children of God to forget our past, to forget the things that God has forgiven us. Sometimes we say, well, I can't serve the Lord because of. I can't serve the Lord because of this, because of that. But if God can forget our sins, who are we to keep that from our ability to serve him and to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says this is a high calling. It is a job for us to do that Jesus Christ has called us. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, he says that this is the things that we should, this is how we should see service to God. I follow after. I forget those things that are in the past, and I press toward those things that God has called us to do. But if this is not our mindset, he says, God will reveal that unto us so that we can be better servants for us. We all have things we can do better in our service to Jesus Christ. We all have a calling, whether it be a full-time calling of service or whether it be just a part-time calling, whether it be a song leader, whether it be something in the church or whether it be something in our daily life, we all have a job and jobs that Jesus would have us to do. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And that vocation is like a job, right? But it's talking about the things which Jesus has called us to do in our personal service, in our everyday lives for him. And then we go back to Matthew in our text. It came to pass that as Jesus had set at meat in his house, so we find that after he had called Matthew, now it appears he had a relationship. He knew Matthew on a personal basis. He had been in and around the city of Capernaum for a while. And it says there in Luke that Levi had made a great feast in his own house. Publicans, these public employees of the Roman government, often were quite wealthy. We have another publican, Zacchaeus, also. We know that was his vocation, and it appears that he was quite wealthy also. And so Levi uses this and invites Jesus to his house and throws a party, basically, a great feast in honor of Jesus Christ, whom he has now dedicated his life to follow. And it says, and many publicans and sinners also came together with Jesus. Luke says, a great company of publicans, and then he goes on and says, of others that sat down with him. So we find that people didn't like publicans because they were tax collectors, they worked for the Romans, they were against the Jews who wanted their own nation, who didn't like the ruling of the Romans. And then there was another group that they called sinners, people who were outcasts, who didn't follow the rules, who weren't obedient to the Pharisees and their laws and doing the things that they wanted them to do. And we find that Matthew was happy to invite publicans, his friends, but he was also just as happy to invite those others who were seen as outcast. And Mark tells us this, for there were many, and they what? They followed him. They were dedicated unto Jesus Christ. So there's this large group of this Pharisees and sinners that are dedicated to following Jesus Christ. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they were not happy. They were like, how dare you eat with these people? How dare you invite them? How dare you mingle with these individuals? And it's interesting that they then decided that they're going to go to his disciples. They didn't go to Jesus, but they go to his disciples, and they're quizzing his disciples and said, how dare he, or how is it that Jesus is going to drink with the publicans? And Matthew says, they said unto the disciples, why eat your masters with publicans and sinners? And they murmured against, so they were complaining, why does he eat with these people? And, you know, we could make some speculation as to why, but Jesus gave a very clear answer. When Jesus heard it, so his disciples are being challenged. Why does your master, why does he do this? Why, you know, they're being asked to justify Jesus' actions. And instead of Jesus allowing his disciples to answer, Jesus says, they that are whole have no need of physician, but they that are sick. What an incredible thing. It's interesting. Many different times, different individuals came unto Jesus and challenged him. And it tells us that Jesus knew what they were thinking, right? That's kind of scary to think that Jesus knew what they were thinking. But when we think about it, he still does, right? God knows what we're thinking. So sometimes when we say these things, when we think these things, Jesus already knows our motivation. And he challenged them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus, to his church at Laodicea, they had some issues, and he challenges them in a lot of the same ways that he challenged the Pharisees and the scribes. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich, writing to a church, his church at Laodicea, because you say I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Wow. Disciples, right? Lord's church, saying we have need of nothing. I don't know about you, but I need lots of things from the Lord. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. It's kind of interesting. Jesus challenged the Pharisees, and he says those that are whole, they don't need a physician. And sometimes, even when we're sick, do you always go to the doctor? No. Sometimes we're kind of stubborn, aren't we? We don't do what we should do to take care of ourselves, to take care of our physical needs, or take care of our physical needs. But those that need help have to acknowledge that they need help. And Jesus is basically saying, look, until you acknowledge that you are not whole, that you need help, I cannot help you. And that's what we see here, the church at Laodicea. They didn't see their need. And it's interesting, we're writing to save people. We're writing to people who should be disciples. And yet we kind of see the same thing in our Sunday school lesson in the book of Job, how that they struggled to see themselves as God saw them, that they had a great need that only God could remedy, that only God could meet that need. And then in Matthew adds a little bit, he adds a phrase that none of the other gospel writers add, and he says, but go ye, Jesus says unto them, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. What means, right? The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go and learn what that means. And go and learn what it means that I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And the Pharisees and scribes were all about doing what God said you had to do to the letter of the law, right? You have to do this. You go mercy, not sacrifice. You have to offer so many sacrifices. You have to do this so many times. And yet they didn't understand the mercy of God. Hosea 6 says this, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Were the Pharisees merciful? No. When the man to the road of on the road to Jericho, when he was beat up and left for dead, what did the priest and the other one that came along to help him? They wouldn't touch him because the law says, I can't show mercy. No, that's not what the law says. That's how they interpreted the law. And then they talked about how you have to do so many different sacrifices to the Lord, and they missed the whole point. I desire mercy. Before you can sacrifice, before you can offer the sacrifice of being thankful to the Lord, you have to experience the mercy and the grace of God. And in dealing with the burnt offering, you need to have knowledge. We find that Saul, the king, God says, told him that he wasn't supposed to take any spoils, wasn't supposed to take any of the leftovers when he defeated the enemy. And we find Saul decided he was going to do it anyway because he knew better. And then God challenged him and said, why did you do it? And his answer is, oh, so I could offer more sacrifice, right? Lord, you'll like this. But he didn't have the knowledge of God, right? God would rather us to be obedient. We need to experience the mercy of God. And then with the knowledge of God, we can serve him and be obedient. Not that God doesn't want us to sacrifice and the burnt offerings and do those things described, but there is a order to these things that he would have us to do it. And here in Matthew, he says, but go and learn what this means. I think too often we don't fully understand what it means when Jesus says those that are whole do not need a physician. And he goes on and he says, I came not to call the righteous, but I've come to call the sinner to repentance. And he repeats that in each one of the gospel accounts. I don't know about you, but the Bible's pretty clear about who is righteous and who isn't righteous, right? For we have all come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. I like the way James puts it. He says we're sinners and we're good at it. But we are supposed to be identifying who we are so that we can then come to the mercy, to the grace of God, acknowledging that we are sinners and that we need the mercy and grace that only God can offer to cover our sins. Peter says this, in closing, if the pianist and song leader would come forward, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should repent, but that all should come to repentance. What an incredible verse. God has called us all to repent. Jesus says those that are whole, those that don't see themselves as sinners, right? They don't see the need for the mercy. They don't see their need to be made whole, to be healed. But we all are sinners. We all need to repent and come to Jesus Christ as our Savior. The pianist, the song leader, is already here. What page you got for us?